Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Episode 214 and two games last night around the NHL. I mean, I guess we could call them statement games. We'll talk about those in a few minutes. We are going to do over the next couple of days. What are we doing, Craig? It's the All-Star break, but what are we doing?
We're going to do the we're going to do grades. Now, I know it's over. It's a little over the halfway point. What do the Sabres play right now? 49?
They played 49 50 games after last 50 night. Games. 50 okay. Last night. Yeah.
So it's a little bit over halfway point in the season, but we're going to do our halfway
All-Star break.
All-Star break. Yeah.
Third of the way through the season grades.
Yes.
And we can do the grades whenever we want to do the grades. How's that? So we're going to grade the team. I heard from a very reliable source.
Okay.
That you were bragging about your quads yesterday.
Okay, that's scary.
Let me read.
I know exactly what you're talking about now. Like, listen, your source has been,
bulging, sexy, ultimately.
Listen, I'm just going to tell you this incredible. Right now. I'll tell you the same story that I was standing at the rink last night with three men, okay? And I just very simply stated when I was getting dressed into my Junior Sabres pants and stuff like that, before I came to the rink, I had to throw the old jeans off. Okay.
What kind and of all underwear of a sudden, did you have on boxer briefs, boxers, tidy whiteys?
What's a tidy whitey is like what? Like, no, it's like a boxer, like not loose boxers, like the ones that keep boxer the package brief. Nice yeah. and tight. Okay. Yeah. So boxer briefs. And I just threw the jeans off. All of a sudden, walked by a full length mirror. Okay, and all of a sudden, I realized like I haven't worked out in 10 years. Like not one single time. Like if I were to squat a 45-pound bar, my ass would be so sore I wouldn't be able to shit for a week on the toilet. Okay, like you remember those days when we started
when you
after
first
seasons,
started after the season. It the hurt first to, week, so you could sit down and go to the bathroom.
You
man.
Couldn't like, sit yeah, down for
you had
almost
to hold
10
onto
days.
The wall.
Exactly. So you remember those times. If I were to squat right now, a 45-pound bar, my legs would be killing me. Right. But I'm sitting there. Haven't touched these bad boys in 10 years. Okay. And I'm walking by the full length mirror and holy shit, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I got a nice leg, man. Got a nice little bulge on the side of the thigh there, you know, still nice looking calf, you know? I'm just saying, and I was telling the boys last night, I surprised myself, the old full length mirror, you know, and,
I heard the legs look good.
You
were very happy.
Yep.
With the lower half of your body.
Oh yeah. Listen, I mean, just pulled up the old, underwear there, package, just nice and tight
be,
and the legs looked awesome.
Maybe you should be a model for like senior citizen underwear or something like that.
Is that right? Eh?
Bottom half.
Yeah.
I could see you in the Sears catalog for sure. Totally in the Sears catalog.
Yep.
All right. Let's talk some hockey last night. Two games. I said statement games. And I would have to say they were statement games. And I want to mention something about last night's game between the Sabres and Hurricanes. And Don Granato has been known lately for resting the team versus having them on the ice practicing. And I like this philosophy to a certain extent. But
oh, here's the but.
No. But sometimes you can go stale, like all this stuff, you know. And I think that too much rest can backfire. And I wonder if maybe that's a little bit of what happened last night, because you saw Carolina was all over them. They played the night before.
Yeah,
and they looked like the fresher team. So I just wonder what your philosophy is on that. I mean, I think it's wonderful when I heard that, and I'm like, that's new school coaching. And I bet the players love it, and I bet it's working and helping. But then again, is some of it to prevent storylines like what's wrong with Tage Thompson, or, you know, like that's where my mind goes after last night. So I just wonder if you think there's a negative to too much rest or time off.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, do you like that they're not practicing as much? Do you like that, or you don't like it?
I liked it. I just wonder if it came because lately.
So you think one game backfired? And let me make my point, and then you can talk.
You're asking me the best team in the conference, they
freaking laid an egg against literally the one of the best teams in the NHL that are veteran laden, that have goaltending, defense, and all 12 forwards are studs. Okay, they're all incredible players. This whole team is like a machine. You will not beat Carolina Hurricanes ever unless you play to their standard, which the Sabres did not. Okay, they made mistakes. They looked like a young team that is literally still trying to find their way. But let's not dwell on one game. Okay, you look at, you know, Buffalo lost in a shootout against Minnesota, picked up a point. Before that, they won 3-2 against Winnipeg. Game before that, Buffalo won 5-3 against St. Louis. The game before that, Buffalo won 3-2 in overtime. The game before that, 6-3 against Anaheim. The game before that, 3-2 against the Islanders. The Buffalo Sabres have played incredible hockey. Incredible hockey. They've played a lot of hockey, too. And you're starting to have those, you're starting to have that time in the season. Okay. It's kind of like we talk about the dog days moving into the All-Star game, moving in the All-Star break. And players are dragging a bit. They're dealing with injuries. Most of these guys have banged up, you know, hip flexors, knees, shoulders, wrists, elbows, back. I mean, you know, this hamstrings bothering you on the right hand side, which just creates more problems as you play through things. And right now, Don Granato has made a decision, okay, probably through some analytics and his feel for what he's seeing with this team, is he does not want to overtax these men. Okay. He does not want to overpractice. There's so many games that they're looking at rest at this time of year.
I have no problem.
Very important.
I have no problem with that. I like it. Okay. In fact, you know, okay, if it's like the Wednesday in between the St. Louis Winnipeg game, that's great. Give them the time off. Like,
yep,
not a day off. Come to the rink, get your therapy, you know, do all that stuff. Maybe get a light bike ride in, whatever. Roll out the muscles, whatever these kids do these days.
Well, you remember the time when Lindy's philosophy too was there's a point in the season. At the start of the season, you need to practice. You're working on systems. You have some new players that are coming into the team. You need to form and get everybody on the same page. So you do a lot of practice. You're
still working on conditioning too.
You're working on conditioning. You're working on team concepts. You're working on everything. But once you're hitting the 40 game mark, the halfway, you know, and even before that, you start to have little nagging injuries that creep up on players. You know, the start of the season, there's no one in the training room, the athletic room, because no one has any injuries. By the time you hit game 20, you have multiple guys, ice bags. By the time you hit game 40, you have multiple players that are in there dealing with small, whether it's muscle tissue, whether it's strains, whether it's groin pulls, hip flexor pulls, backs are starting to seize up a little bit and they're out of place. So they need to be corrected. And it's just going on and on and on. Don Granato's made a decision. I love the decision because Lindy Ruff did this exact same thing when I was playing on the Sabres, and coaches basically identify at a certain point the season, if you do practice, there's no more hour and 15 or an hour and a half practice where they're yelling and they're banging their sticks and we got to be better. Now it's about managing and trying to get truly the top of the performance. And these practices are 25 minutes long, very quick, very high tempo. And then you're off the ice. You're done. Get off the ice. And let's make sure that your tank is full when you go to play these games. And they've done a great job.
I was just asking, and I played for Jacques Lemaire. And he and Lindy had very similar philosophies, although I never heard it verbalized the way someone did about Jacques. Someone said that Jacques Lemaire believed that if you take one day off, you get out, you not get out of shape, but you're not in as good a shape. Like that one day hurts you versus but
when was Jacques coaching?
Oh, this was my last year in the league. So it was 09-10.
So 09-10.
And he coached a little years bit after
before that. Jacques Lemaire, when I started with the Montreal Canadiens, 94-95 season was my first year pro. I played a couple games with the Montreal Canadiens. Jacques Lemaire was part of the staff. He was there. So he's been coaching a very long time in this league. Yeah. That was 25 years ago, 20 years ago, 15 years ago,
30 years ago.
The analytics, okay, are showing that athletes need more time, and you're going to get more out of a player by not beating them down. They need rest. Rest is massive. And you look at the technology of these, what's happening with all these sports teams now, it's not just, you know, you didn't play well, so the next day I'm going to bag skate the team. No, they need days rest. They need mental days rest. And I think the Sabres right now, and Don Granato, this information came out that the team has not practiced very much, but it's exactly what needs to happen right now. These players know how to play. They know their system. If you want to work on a little power play because you're changing a player in and out of that position, then that's fine.
But I don't know. Hockey's interesting. I feel like there's an element of sharpness that you get from practice. And I'm not sitting here preaching as if I, you know, was the guy who loved to practice, but I'm saying this from the standpoint of performance and observing over the last 10 years, especially how the game has changed, right? Like it's
every player's different though.
And the philosophy. Yeah. Every player's different.
So
but I,
like when I was in San Jose,
you played a tired Carolina team last night. Okay. Who played the night before has been grinding the entire season to be where they are in the standings. And they played a very fresh up and coming Sabres team
you're using the wrong word.
What's the wrong word?
You think Carolina grinds? They don't grind. They're a machine. Oh, a finely oiled machine.
Oh God. Okay. So it's not as hard for them. You don't think they're working? You don't think they're working?
Did I say anything about them not working?
No, but that's what I'm talking. They played the night before.
It doesn't fucking matter. The way they play the game, they play perfectly symmetrical hockey. Every single movement on the ice is for a purpose. The way they work in a game is purposeful. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's like, you know, when
they didn't grind to get that win against LA and a 5-4 overtime loss on Wednesday or Tuesday night or overtime win. Sorry. You know, I mean, they didn't grind for that. They don't grind.
I don't think they grind. Okay. I think they play.
Well, they
play
back to back games and they looked like the fresher team. So that's all I'm saying to you is that sometimes it can backfire. Because
Sabres are so outclassed when you play teams like that. Sabres have never listened to Paulie Hamilton. I like almost his head popped off in between periods because he was just like, what the hell is going on? Like they cannot beat this team. They've had such a difficult time with playing the Carolina Hurricanes over the years that they struggle with this team in particular. And you ask yourself, why? Why is that? You know, players have changed, you know, coaches have changed. Goaltenders, defensemen, they're different, but they just seem to struggle.
Well, clearly when they play harder for Carolina. More offensive players to score against very defensive players or very good defensive players.
Well,
structured defensive players. What's the right word, Riv? Because you want to correct me.
Yes, and it's very simple to say that all of the players that they have on their team. They have some really offensive players, but those offensive players, the top guys, care just as much about defense as they do offense.
What's wrong with Tage Thompson?
Sert.
Thanks, Tips. What's wrong with him, do you think? He didn't look like himself last night.
He wasn't. He was hurt. He was hurt before. He didn't practice the day prior. And, you know, he went out and he tried to play. And very clearly, he did not look like Tage Thompson. He looks like he is hurt. I don't know what it is. But
We'll know the severity of it if he pulls out of the All-Star game.
He's going to pull out of the All-Star game. No question. No question whatsoever.
Really? Okay.
Guaranteed. 100% guaranteed.
Well, that's concerning.
No, it's not concerning. It is something that the Sabres, deep down inside, are just truly thankful for. Because this young man
don't
needs
say
a break.
He's not, okay. Yeah. But what would you
break,
rather
man.
What would you rather have? Tage Thompson go to the All-Star game healthy or pull out of the All-Star game and get his time off because he's hurt? I don't want him hurt at all. I don't care if it's a weak injury,
don't know what it is. We don't know if he has an issue with his wrist, his elbow, his shoulder, his neck, his back, his knee, his hip flexor, his groin, hamstring,
ankle. Okay, so
ankle.
You just listed off every hockey injury known to man. So you could have just like summed
so we don't
it
know
up
what it is.
We don't know what his injury is.
What I will say is this, that by Tage Thompson even playing in that game yesterday shows me that he is a playable person. Okay, he's not as hurt as if the Sabres were come out and say, listen, I mean, Tage Thompson is going to be out for 2 weeks due to this injury, this lower body injury. That to me is more concerning.
It wouldn't
but
be this lower
no
body
injury. Destination,
it would be just lower body injury.
Exactly. And what I really like about this, is I would love nothing more. And this is just me as a former player that understands exactly where all these men are. Okay. I think Tage Thompson needs a break. I think he needs to go lay on a beach. I think he needs to go jump in a pool. Enjoy a beautiful, beautiful vacation with his wife. And I think do they have a newborn too?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure he is a dad. I don't know how many times, but
yeah. So
I want to take the kid on that trip.
Listen, I mean, he needs to get away. He needs to relax. He's earned it. He deserves it. He's had a terrific season up to this point. I think he needs some downtime to get away from this game. And I'm going to tell you, there's no better time to do it. Okay. Today's Thursday, the second. I would love for the Sabres to basically say, Tage, come back on Monday. Okay. Come back on Monday or even Tuesday. Come back. Take 4 days to yourself, okay?
Oh, you're going to give him more time than the rest of the team.
Goddamn right I am.
Oh, okay. You're really new school.
Listen, I mean, I'm going to give him time, especially with this injury.
Get your ass back with the rest of the fucking team, and we'll see you at the rink. You don't have to skate, but we'll see you at the rink.
Okay, so he's back on Monday. Okay. I said Monday.
Yeah,
big deal.
You gave him an extra day. You said Tuesday. And I'm like, no. What?
Well, he's not going to skate. Sorry. Like, because they don't play till the next Saturday. They have a lot of time off. This is.
Well, they might get extra time off anyway. They get like a little break. So they might not have to report back until Wednesday or Thursday. Some of those other teams will report back because games start again on Monday. The Sabres don't play until, what did you say it was?
The 11th on Saturday.
Yeah.
So there's a really good chunk of time here that these players can take the opportunity, go and enjoy themselves. Okay. Get some sun or do whatever you want to do. You know, I had All-Star breaks where I went up to Mount Tremblant, Trevor Linden, myself, Saku Koivu rented a big ski lodge house together. We went snowmobiling. We went, snowshoeing. Like we went, didn't go warm. We went colder. And, you know, that time away, just spending time away,
sure,
not
it was warm
thinking
by the fire with the bourbon and the beers going down. The body got that warm, tingly, numb feeling. But you had a couple rum toddies, didn't you, Riv?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I know you did.
You better friggin' believe
it. We didn't go warm. Yeah, you did.
Yeah, warm in the belly. But, you know, those times were awesome. And these young guys need this time off. Tage Thompson needs this time off. He needs to heal his body, take care of himself, but he also needs to get the mind away. Okay, the mind away from this this grind. And the Sabres have just a perfect situation because they can come back and slowly get this team back and fired up in the next four or five days and to be ready for the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, my guess is they part ways today. They have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday off. I bet they're back at the rink Wednesday for 3 days of practice before, you know, they have Calgary at home 12:30 on the 11th. And I'm going to tell you what, their schedule does not start easily. They're home on the 11th, then they take off out west right away. At LA on the 13th, at Anaheim on the 15th.
Winnable game. 100% yeah, winnable.
They're all winnable. These are all
San Jose is a winnable game.
San Jose on the Saturday, very winnable. Then they come home. Then they have Toronto, Tampa, Florida. Okay. Like they're on the
very
road.
Tough stretch.
They're on the road for, you know, a bunch the first 2 weeks or the last 2 weeks of February. They're on the road quite a bit.
Yep.
So the schedule's not going to get easier for him. All right, as we were recording this morning, some news came out, and Craig is maybe unaware of this, but kind of altered our entire conversation of what's inside the pod. So because we talked about it as a curiosity as after the injury last night to Tage and all that stuff, he is not going to the All-Star game. This came out about 25 minutes ago. We were mid pod actually talking about why it would be so great for him to not go, as you were saying. And as it turns out, Rasmus Dahlin, who I can't believe he wasn't there in the first place, is going to be replacing Tage Thompson at the All-Star game in Florida. So it's official. Tage is not going to the All-Star game. That's bad news. You think it's great news from the standpoint of rest, letting his body rest?
Oh yeah, it's great news.
I think
that's perfect.
I think it's terrible news because that means that the injury is obviously significant enough to keep a guy who has earned his right and his stripes as an all-star to go to the game and experience the weekend, regardless of what we think about it. It's an honor for probably Tage Thompson to go to the all-star game, show off the hardest shot, all that stuff. And now he can't go. So to me, that spells more significant than maybe we lead on. And as we were just having the conversation about Austin Matthews and what that means for the Leafs and how it can affect your team, if he's hurt, seriously hurt, this is bad, very bad for this team.
I don't think he's seriously hurt. I think he's banged up. 50 games into the season. He has 68 reasons why he needs to stay home, rest, get some relaxation, heal up. They have 10 days before their next game against the Calgary. And I am pleased with this because I'm going to tell you that, you know, going to an All-Star game is mentally draining. You got to have your happy face on for the entire weekend. You're with guys. There's that anxiety to it.
You know this from all those All-Star games that you played in.
Yeah. I would always expect a dickhead statement like that coming from you. But I mean,
I know what you mean, though. You know, I know.
This is great for Tage Thompson. This is exactly what the team wants. This is what Tage wants. You know, he's earned to be an all-star, and he is clearly an all-star. And he will get that jersey, and they will send it to him, and that jersey will be hung on his wall at some point. But right now, this is about getting Tage Thompson healthy. They have 10 days. That's a long, long time, and he needs it mentally and physically.
Okay, so let me ask you something. So do you think Tage Thompson's happy he's not going? Let's forget about like what we
Yes,
did.
I do.
You do?
Yes, I do. I do. I think Tage would have liked the opportunity to go there and represent the Buffalo Sabres. But I think the opportunity to kind of step away from the game for a little while, and you're not stepping away from the game. When you go to the All-Star game, you're prouncing around like a little circus animal, you know, and, so, you know, they're going to be doing signing sessions and
you think he's going to be able to hop on a plane and go somewhere?
I don't know. I don't know the severity of the injury and what it needs, but I would think that there's a strong possibility that, the Sabres will be sending a couple plastic bags with them. So they can put ice in the bag and he can just ice whatever he needs. He'll ice from the inside and he'll also ice on the outside.
I don't know.
And
man.
he needs to get away mentally. I mean, he has had an incredible year. All these guys, Tuck, Dahlin, Skinner, Cousins, Olsson, Mitzi, you know, Quinn, Paterka, all these guys, all of them. They all need a break. They've done really well. This has been a nice season. This has been the best season that I've seen in a decade for this team. I see the team growing and continuing to get better, and it's not going to be easy. It is not going to be easy to make the playoffs, but this is what Kevin Adams probably envisioned, that at least they were playing meaningful games in the second half of the year. And when they come back from their break, and they have the opportunity for the next 4 or 5 days to really dial it in and get their brains back to playing competitively, they need to make a push. They need to play high-end hockey, and they need a Tage Thompson to be healthy.
I wonder with this young team, if there's just a bunch of guys, all these young millionaires on this team, just chartering a plane somewhere and all just going like 7, 8, 9 guys.
I don't think that is the case now.
Okay.
But why? In a year, 2 years from now, there is going to be a lot of, because you know, you're chartering a plane. It's probably going to cost you like $50,000 minimum to have these guys fly.
Not for a plane for like 7, 8 guys. That's not costing you $50,000. There's no way. Not no way
for a flight there and back.
Well, where are we going?
Bahamas. Just throw the Bahamas out. That's most likely where these guys will go.
Okay, so what's that? 4-hour flight?
Three.
Okay, three.
So, you're looking at $25,000 for a private plane.
Okay, 7 guys. That's $3,000 a guy. let's go. You only live once, man. Fuck.
Yeah.
You only live once. All right. Well, maybe not right now. Maybe someone picks up the plane. Who knows? Maybe.
The only person that's picking up the plane on this team is Kalaposo, because he's loaded. Okay. But in due time, you're going to have a Tage Thompson that's making 7 schmilly. Alex Tuck's making what? Almost 5. Darlene's going to be making, let's just say, 9.5. 10.
He makes 6 now. You're telling me if Darlene, he's on an $18 million contract.
Okay. And it's a lot different when you go and sign an 8-year deal for $75 million. Yeah. It's a different category of player. Believe me, I played with the players that have made the money.
All right.
Guys that make the money are the guys that, you know, Joe Thornton back in our time in San Jose was the one player that had a private plane. And he owned shares in it. So yeah, you could fly all over the place, blah, 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 for
they paid it was like $125,000 or something. Yeah. I remember these guys were paying and 100 hours or something in the air.
You know,
I can't remember what it was. Or
you're going to see Cousins going to be freaking rolling in it, just diving in friggin' a bed of money. You know, there's going to be a lot of guys that make a lot of money. There's going to be a lot of guys that make a lot of money. You know, look at Cousins or look at what's his name? Power. Kid's a freaking kid, like literally out of diapers, man. The guy's like just an absolute mutant on the ice. He's 20 years old. He's flying around like he's already been in the league for 10 years. It's absolutely ridiculous. And what you need to understand about his situation is he came here and played last year, right? And that burnt one of the years of his contract. So rookies are on 3-year contracts. Owen Power already burned a year. So he's playing in the second year of his contract this year. So let me tell you, are you going to sign Owen Power to a contract after this year? Or are you going to make him wait and play out his last year?
No, this is a different situation, Craig.
It's the most like you like Kevin Adams. Kevin Adams cannot, and I repeat, cannot allow Owen Power to play the last year of his contract. Because do you know what you're going to get in Owen Power in the second year in the NHL at age 21?
Well, he's in the conversation right now for the Calder Trophy. It's undeniable. Who gives a
shit about the Calder Trophy? I don't care about the Calder. He's not going to win the Calder Trophy. He's not going to win the Calder Trophy. I'll guarantee you. I will give you 10-1 odds. He's not winning the Calder. Beniers is going to win the Calder. Undeniable.
What?
Undeniable.
Beniers. 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 I thought you said in 10 years he's going to win the Calder, and I'm you think I'm talking about the Norris?
Matt Beniers. Literally locked to win the Calder. Yeah. He is playing as their number one.
He's on the ice. He's on the ice at the end of games when they're up by a goal, down by a goal. Like he's their key face-off guy. He is
true to form. He's a stud.
Yeah.
Second. Was he second overall? I think he was second overall.
So
he's an absolute stud. He's played really well for Seattle Kraken. You know, his point totals are not overwhelming. Like he's got 17 goals and 36 points in 47 games. It's not like, wow, this guy is like shredding it. But, you know, Matt Beniers really is the runaway leader of the Calder right now. But here's the thing. This has nothing to do with the Calder. When you watch Owen Power play as a 20-year-old man, when you watch his package that he has 6'7", 220 pounds. He's a big, long man as a defender. To beat him, he's very long. I mean, one-on-one, you're not beating him. His puck moving ability is incredible. Incredible for a big man. His skating is completely off the chart. His offensive ability, this guy literally looks like a rover. He does. I don't even think you should put him down as a defenseman. There should be an R in brackets, not like a C or a right wing or a left wing or a D for a defense. You should have R for Rover because he is up the ice every single time he's out there. He's behind the net. Like he's adding offense constantly. And he's 20. He's still trying to figure out the game. So, Kevin, which I think Kevin already knows. What do you do with Owen Power? You cannot, and I repeat, you cannot under any circumstances allow that kid to play the last year of that deal.
Who's the defenseman in Ottawa a few years ago that signed that 8-for-8?
Chabot.
Okay, so, I mean, why can we not just say to Owen Power, we'll give you 8-for-9 or $9 million for 8 years?
So
is that not enough?
So, well,
like, in all honesty, with the way you're talking, that doesn't even sound like it's enough.
So like, what did like he should? Let's just go over this. Let's talk about this. When you talk about, you know, Thomas Chabot, okay, who signed that contract, he signed an 8-year deal for $64 million. Okay. Thomas Chabot right now is in the third year of that deal.
It was his second contract too, important to note. Like there was no bridge deal. It was his entry level.
There was not a bridge deal.
Yeah. He went right from entry level to 8 for 8.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why I'm having this discussion, because Darlene had a 3-year bridge. You know, Hedman had a bridge. You know, Owen Power, we're talking about no bridge, just lock him up long term.
Yeah. I mean, Thomas Chabot is a really, really good defenseman. He was drafted 18th overall back in 2015. So he's drafted 18th. He's a big man. He skates really well. He's an offensive player. Okay. He's really moves the puck very well for the Senators. You know, I wouldn't classify Thomas Chabot as a star. Okay, I classify him as a really good defenseman that skates well, moves the puck well, and he's considered Ottawa's offensive defenseman. Okay. He has 29 points, 8 goals in 45 games. 29, 8 in 45 games. He's a really good player. Like he's gonna be probably a 50 point player this year. Owen Power is Owen Power and Thomas Chabot, to me, can't be mentioned in the same breath. And I know what Thomas Chabot has done in the league. Like he's played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years in the league. He's been a really good player in this league, okay? But the upside of Owen Power is extreme. When you're talking about Owen Power, there's very few players that you can actually mention in the same breath as Owen Power. Okay. You're not going to sit there and say, Owen Power reminds me of Erik Karlsson. No, no, he doesn't. They're not anywhere the same. And you're not going to say that Owen Power is going to be as good as Cale Makar. Well, they're not the same defenseman. They're very different. Okay. But I'll tell you a player that can go in the same context as Owen Power. Go ahead. Just go ahead and throw it at me, bud.
It's Victor Hedman.
Victor Hedman. Victor Hedman is 6'6", just like Owen Power. Owen Power's 220 pounds. It was basically the same size as what Victor Hedman was. The difference between the two is Victor Hedman was drafted, I think, 3rd overall or 2nd. I don't know which one it was. 2nd overall. And Owen Power's number 1. Owen Power, at the age of 20, is playing like he's 30. Now, is he making mistakes? I clearly watch him very closely, and he does make mistakes. He makes mistakes because he's very aggressive in how he defends and what he does on offense. He's very aggressive, and he's making little mistakes, things that he will pick up in year 2, 3, 4, 5, and beyond, okay? What we're going to get in Owen Power right now, currently, Kevin Adams wouldn't be able to answer that question. You have no idea what you're going to get. No, you can't answer the question. What are we going to get? What is the ceiling for Owen Power? And right now,
okay. Well, what's the bare minimum?
The bare minimum of Owen Power is going to be a top 4 defenseman, and he's going to be a guy that puts up 30 points a year. That is the bare minimum. That is the absolute minimum that you will get from him. That he's going to be a top 4 guy that plays 21 minutes a night, and he's just a real solid top 4 defenseman.
Okay, that's, I mean, that's
for the minimum, and I gave it to you.
Okay.
That is the minimum. The upper side of Owen Power is he's going to win Norris trophies. He's going to win Norris trophies. And when you have a Norris trophy type defenseman like that, he gives you opportunities to win championships. And I think Owen Power right now, with his package and what he has, size wise, skating wise, hockey IQ wise, competitiveness, we do not know what we're getting in this young man. Because watching him at the age of 20 years old, and watching him play his first year, which usually for young defensemen is very tough, Okay. We're not talking a Cale Makar that came to the league at 22. We're talking a 20-year-old.
Okay. So what's the number for him then? If you were to sign him this offseason, would Kevin Adams be, you know, scrutinized?
Rasmus Dahlin has set his market. Rasmus Dahlin has set a market for himself with his play in year five? Are we in year five for Dahlin or year six?
Five.
Okay. So in year five, looking at Rasmus Dahlin, he has clearly set a market and a bar that he is a top five, and could be in an argument situation where he is absolutely with 100% certainty in the top 10. Okay. He has set that bar for himself in year five. He had a bridge deal that has been signed. That was a very good bridge deal, making $6 million a year for 3 years. But now you have clearly opened an opportunity for Rasmus Dahlin to exceed the expectations of a $6 million deal. And he has. You're going to have to pay him. And if you can get him and just get him for $9.5 million, I think you're walking away with a steal. Because you're not going to, his next contract's going to be 8 years.
I think we're looking at 10. I think it's going to be the first number.
I would hope it's not 10.
I really would hope it's not 10.
If you want to be competitive in this league right now, you cannot have double-digit defensemen in the league.
Well, I think we both can agree that it was completely horse shit that he wasn't in the All-Star game, and that's the format that screwed him over. He's going to replace Tage at the All-Star game, but he's a $10 million defenseman. Like, you're telling me that you can't pay him?
He's more than that.
Oh, what are you talking about? He's like Drew Doughty. He's like
Drew Doughty signed for $11 million. Like I don't even know how many.
That
years
was after.
Ago.
Yeah, I know, because Drew Doughty signed that long deal for like $7 million per year, and then
look at the point totals: 44, 40, 23, 53 last year, and this year he has 55 in 49 games. Like, he's going to have, like,
he's gonna have 90 points this year.
He could have 90 points as a defenseman. He could have 20 goals and 90 points. What the hell do you pay that? What do you pay a defenseman who just puts up 90 points,
well,
who's playing on your first power play, who's
10?
Killing penalties?
Did I say 10?
That's what I'm saying, Petey.
Okay, so I meant 11.
Like,
have to find a way to get Rasmus Dahlin and Owen Power wrapped up as a pair, not as a pair on the ice, but a pair for $20 million total between the two. I mean, it has to be that way.
I would hope it'd be less than that. I think that Rasmus Dahlin is in year five.
Then would you trade him if the number's too high?
Absolutely. I'm not trading either one of those guys. They're absolute stud ball horses on your back end.
Do you need
end.
Them
not,
both? If you have power.
100,000%, you need them both. 100,000%. 100,000%. Dahlin plays half the game right now. Owen Power, in another 2 years from now, when he's not 20 years old, like he's a kid, his body's still growing and getting stronger and becoming man muscle and man strength. Okay. He's going to learn the league and how to eat properly, deal with, you know,
situations. This salary cap situation the Sabres are in, this dream salary cap that everyone's loving, it's going to come to a crashing halt real soon.
But that's okay. You're going to identify your elite.
And people are
players.
Talking about Timo Meier. You seen the asking price for Timo Meier? I don't think it's that bad, to be honest with you. But I think
three first rounders? Equivalent to three first rounders. I think it's a first rounder.
Yeah.
I think it's one of your top prospects. And then he wants two prospects that are second tier.
So a first A plus top prospect, two B prospects, or one good prospect with a young roster player. So the first rounder you can part with, I'll give him the first, an A-plus top prospect. That's a Matt Savoy or any one of the others, or Coolidge. Yeah.
Oh, they're going to want Coolidge.
They're going to want
Everybody Coolidge. Does their homework. Everybody does their homework. And I'm going to tell you right now, the stud that this team would want to keep their hands on is Yari.
What's what are B prospects in the Sabres organization? Like, is Casey Mittelstadt still a prospect?
He would be a young roster player.
Right.
All you need to know is there's
prospect.
You can make the deal. It's where does he fit in long term when you're already going to have to pay Portillo, Dylan Cousins?
Give him Portillo. That's an A-plus prospect.
Yeah.
Maybe not an A-plus. That's a
Mike
top
Greer's
prospect.
Not a stupid guy. Why would you sign him? Or why would you ask for him in the trade? Like, he would be a very low end ask because he's going to be unrestricted anyway, and that guy's going to be signing where he wants to.
All right. The conversation was a salary cap, but yeah, what were you going
to
say?
To end the conversation with Power, he will be signed. They have to. So will Darlene. Both of them, they will be signed. So Dylan Cousins has to be signed. And Owen Power is going to get paid in a big way. And you look at Thomas Chabot and the money that he got from the Ottawa Senators. That was 3 years ago that he got that money. And he's making $8 million. So what is Owen Power worth? What is he truly worth moving forward? You've seen what he's done this year alone. And the growth that this young man is going to have, is he worth $9 million to lock him up for $9 million for eight? Is it going to be $8.5 million for eight?
Well, bye-bye to Olofsson, bye-bye to Mittelstadt. That's $7.25 million right there. Kyle Oposo's contract gets cut by $5 million. There's $12.25 million right there. You know, Gergensen's probably leaves, although, you know, I'd bring him back, although I don't know if he'd want to come back, but there's another $2 million. So now you're at $14 million, but you have to replace these players with guys. And then you got to pay. You're going to have to pay.
That's why bringing players in from the outside is not the priority right now, because this team is so young. The Tage Thompson, the Tuck, the Darlene, the Cousins, and you know, the Mittelstadts, the Jack Quinns, the Paterkas, like, there is a Owen Power. The youth on this team, they're not about winning right now. This is about developing a very big core, getting these players under contract that is not only going to bode well in the short term, but really bode well in the long term. And Adams is going to have to get these guys signed. Like,
I think people are crazy to think that Darlene's increase is only going to be $3 million. I don't know. At the start of the year, it would have been, but not right now. It is. He's all of $11
million. Well, right now, the pressure that's going to be on every single player in the negotiations of these contracts is going to basically be looking at Tage Thompson's contract. This is what Tage Thompson has signed. He's our leading scorer. He's our leading point producer. He has bought into this team. He could have waited, and he's making $7.14 million a year for the next 7 years. If you have, so what's going to happen with Dylan Cousins? Dylan Cousins in the last, what, 5-8 games has kind of fallen off the point producing situation. Taking off the number one power play. So they're trying to figure out how to kickstart the power play. But at the same time, that means Dylan Cousins' point production is probably going to suffer a little bit, because he's ultimately playing with two very skilled players in Quinn and Paterka, but they're very young players right now. So what is Dylan Cousins worth?
My last question for you, well, it'll be interesting. If Tage is out for a while and he has to assume that role, it'll be interesting to see what he can do up as a top-line center. I would assume that's what would happen.
He's not Tage Thompson. Dylan Cousins is a very good hockey player.
Well, don't say that, because Tage Thompson wasn't Tage Thompson until he got his chance too. So we don't know that.
Yeah, and you look at Dylan Cousins at his age, at age 21, he was far beyond Tage Thompson at the same age. Dylan Cousins is only 21 years old. He's got a long, long, long way to go. It's, I mean, he's awesome.
So let me ask you this last question about the Sabres. depending on the severity of Thompson's injury, okay, does it potentially change Kevin Adams' approach to the trade deadline if Tage Thompson does have some sort of a significant injury? Let's just hypothetical here.
Yeah, hypothetical.
Because I don't want him to be hurt. He's been exciting to watch, and I really want to see him finish the season, and I want to see what kind of numbers he can put up.
Yeah,
I hope this break is enough time for him to get what he needs to get healthy and get back. But let's just say
I don't know what the injury is, but I feel confident to say that to have Tage Thompson play in that game last night, skate around, do what he has to do. And I think they're just at the point where it's they were like, you know, 3-1 going into the third period. If you're not 100%, we are looking at you being here long term for the rest of the year. Let's shut you down. Let's make sure it doesn't get worse. And I think that's the focus of Buffalo. But your question that I about this is, if Tage Thompson is out, does this change the course of Kevin Adams and what he would do? And I think Kevin Adams really has, I think he feels very comfortable with what he has on the ice right now. I think he just needs time. He ultimately needs time to let this team mature and to learn how to play like a Carolina team that are a little bit older, a little bit stronger, a little bit smarter in how they do things. And the only way of doing that is to allow the young players to make mistakes, learn from the mistakes and get better. So I think that Kevin Adams is, if you lose Tage Thompson, then I don't think Kevin Adams is going to do anything at all.
Hard to do anything without your best player.
Yes. So. And you're not going to trade away assets.
Well, you know what? I still could see him. If he's serious about going and getting Timo Meier, like I could still see him going and pulling off that deal. And I wonder right now if the only holdup, because the Sabres have all the assets, if they really want him, I would have to imagine the only holdup is talking to his agent and getting a contract signed and coming to an agreement. I mean,
I think Timo Meier is an awesome player. I don't know where he fits in. And I know where he fits in. He would be one of the top players on the team. But that being said, where does he fit in financially long-term for this hockey team? And I just don't see it, because in due time, you're going to be paying a lot of players. Thompson's contract kicks in. Darlene's going to need a new contract. Dylan Cousins is going to need a new contract. At some point in time, Owen Power is going to need a new contract. But Jack Quinn, JJ Paterka, this is the first year in the league. What's going to happen in 2 years from now with these two young players? I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to shred it. They're going to be point of game players, and you're going to have to pay them. So if you're paying Timo Meier, eventually you're not going to have the money to pay the rest of your young players.
If Jeff Skinner were movable, I would move him and bring in Meier. I don't think that he is, but you're also getting maximum output from Jeff right now in terms of chemistry on that line. So I don't know what I would change. I don't know that I would go and pull a drastic move like this. I'm with you. I don't think they need him. I don't know where he fits.
He fits in Jeff Skinner's position. But if you have Jeff Skinner in this lineup, then you don't have a spot for Timo Meier, because you're not paying a $9 million Jeff Skinner, and you're not going to pay, an $9 million Timo Meier. Well,
if you bring in a $9 million Timo Meier and you have to move out a Jeff Skinner, you're picking up half Skinner's salary. So now you're paying Meier $13.5 million. So let's be honest. It's a sticky situation.
Well, what's going to happen is you may not have to take the salary of Jeff Skinner, but you're going to be taking on another bad contract from another team that could be $4.5-5 million, which there's your, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'd rather just have the half the salary sitting there as dead money. But then again, it's not my money. One team that I think can definitely benefit from the time off are the Leafs with Austin Matthews injury, because clearly they're struggling without him. They got shit kicked last night against Boston. The Leafs aren't going to get past Tampa. I want to say I'd love to see Boston, Toronto in the second round, but I just don't think it's going to happen. I just don't think it's going to happen, man.
I'll say this again. I think the playoffs setup is absolutely horseshit. To sit there and think that we've got to go as a team, and I'm talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs, that we've got to play an 82-game schedule. Play fantastic. Like, I mean, fantastic throughout the entire season. They sit right now in the league. They sit in the league. They sit third. They sit third. And you're going to meet the number six. You're going to meet the number six in the first round of the playoffs. Way to go, Gary.
Oh,
horseshit setup. No, don't even sit there and tell me that you don't believe what I'm saying.
No, I don't, but it's not even really.
You do or you don't. You think this is right that Tampa Bay and Toronto are playing and they're number three.
I prefer this way because it's closest to the way that I would prefer it, which is divisions. I don't. You know what? You have a strong division. I'm sorry.
Well, you're an idiot then. I'm just gonna say right out.
I don't know why.
Stupid. Edie, you play the entire 82-game schedule. You get beat up. You have broken bones, torn this, torn that. And now all of a sudden, you should be number one. If you want to do it conference-wise, I'm totally fine with that. Keep the conferences separate, okay? So your number one would play number eight. How hard is that? How hard is that? You're going to have the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first round have to play the Tampa Bay Lightning, who's number six in the league? It's complete horseshit.
Well, it's really only the four teams in the middle, because Boston, the top team, plays wild card two. The second top team in the other division plays wild card one. And then you have the two teams from inside the division. So it's really only four teams that have to end up. So it's not like, you know, like, who would Toronto be playing anyway? They'd be playing Jersey. Okay. Well, Jersey's good.
You play your whole season. Or they'd be Boston Bruins, the number one team in the league.
Sorry.
The number one team in the league are going to play Boston or going to play Tampa Bay or Toronto?
Yeah. Well, the point of the conversation, though, is more about what can they do without Austin Matthews? And I don't think it's very much, but I don't think Austin Matthews would have been that big of a difference maker in that game last night.
Yeah,
I really don't.
Well, I'll tell you this. Like, when you think of the Boston Bruins and me as a player that played against them for 16 years, there's one thing I think about when I think of Boston Bruins, and that's defensively responsible team. They're a defensively responsible team. They had Zdeno Chara as their captain there for many, many, many years, and he was one of the greatest leaders out there. He kept everybody accountable, because if you did not play the right way, if you did not play defense, I'm going to tell you right now, you're getting a 6'9" angry giant. Okay. And then you have, you know, Patrice Bergeron, who has literally learned through his time and grown into one of the greatest leaders again. But when you think of Patrice Bergeron, you think of Selke. You think of defense. You think of responsible, but a guy that also scores 30 goals and puts up 70, 80 points a year, okay? And then you think of Brad Marchand. You think of Rat. You think of talented. You think of point producer. But you also think one of the greatest defenders in the league. So when you think of Boston, you're thinking defending. Right now, in the NHL, the Boston Bruins are number one. They've allowed 111 goals. The second team is the Rangers at 129. 129 goals.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's such a massive difference between number one and number two, let alone, you know, Anaheim has double the goals against. Double.
They're the last team in the league. 100 more goals against. I mean, defense wins championships. When I think of the Toronto Maple Leafs, what's the first thing that you think about?
Goals.
Offense. Yeah. Offense, offense, offense. Their identity is Austin Matthews. Their identity is Matthews, Marner, and Nylander. Okay, that's their identity. Yes, you can throw John Tavares in there. Leaf fans are probably like, oh, what about John? JT's awesome, you know, and he's a good hockey player. But their identity, your identity in Toronto is Austin Matthews, Marner, and Nylander. And I'm going to tell you right now, do you think Nylander is considered in your mind?
Well, Morgan Riley, too. Chuck him in there. Just chuck him in there for conversation. But
when you think of Austin Matthews, do you think defense?
No, I don't.
When you think William Nylander, you think defense? Okay. No. So
I'm not saying they don't
play
defense. I'm just saying that's not what the first thing I think of.
You think of offense.
So Austin Matthews has been blocking a ton of shots this year. Tons of shots.
You know that?
Yeah. So like, you know, it's one of those things. It was a conversation up in Toronto where they're saying, you know, stop blocking shots. Stop blocking shots.
Yeah, that's what they should be doing.
Well, what? You think Austin Matthews should be blocking shots? Like
1,000% he should be blocking shots. 1,000%. Let me tell you this. Do you think Brad Marchand
as much as like he's going out of his way to block shots? I'm not saying he's standing in the shot lane and just, you know, turns his body or puts his shin pads in front of it. I'm talking about like sliding across the middle, not sliding, but like skating across the middle of the ice and like taking one wide open. He took one on the palm of his hand in one of the games not long ago, and he didn't get hurt from it, or I don't know, maybe he did, but didn't seem to appear to bother him. But all I'm saying is the conversation was, why? If he takes one of those off the fucking hand and or wrist and breaks a bone in his hand, he's done for the year. I mean, is it really worth it? You got a goalie with all his pads on, fucking stop the puck, get out of the way, and go score the goals. I'm not saying don't play defense.
Can I just ask you a question then?
Yeah.
Do you think Steve Stamkos is going to block the shot?
Yeah. I do. We know he is.
What about Braden Point?
Yeah, we know he is.
You know, when you look at, you know, Boston, these are teams that Toronto's going to have to play against. Is Bergeron going to block a shot? Pasternak,
okay. I don't
know. Brusque, Coyle, Krejci. Every single player on that team is expected, obligated to do all these things because these things are what help you win. So when you're sitting there,
I know, but I might want to just designate
interesting
it to
talk
a
about
few
you
or
listening to, you know, and reading an article or a statement saying that they do not want Austin Matthews blocking a shot just in case he gets
as
hurt.
As much because from the standpoint, like don't put yourself at risk. But if you're in the shot lane, yeah, take the shot off the shin pads or the, you know, ankle. Fuck, you're fine. But I'm just saying, like coming across and like opening wide up to a one timer where you can just. I think it's a fair argument. I mean, he's not right now, but he was a 60 goal scorer last year. Hard for Austin Matthews. Just look at the Leafs right now. You know, they lost that game to Ottawa. Now, granted, that might have been the whole Samsonov, Matt Murray goaltender swap just at the end of warm up. But I mean, they lost that game to Ottawa, and then they beat Washington, but then they outclassed last night. So they need this guy. So he. I mean, that's all I'm saying. Like when we played in Buffalo here, Chris Drury, that was
let me ask you this
DNA,
question.
I never wanted to see Danny B go and slide in front of a shot.
Who's more important to their team, Pasternak or Austin Matthews?
Austin Matthews.
Okay. In a much higher scale, because I'm looking at Pasternak. He's doing the same thing as what he does
every year, and that's
crush it.
Austin Matthews is a 10 times greater loss than Pasternak is to the Bruins.
Okay. What about Bergeron to the Bruins?
Bruins have already proven that they can be successful with star players.
What about Sebastian Aho, who's number two in the league?
They started the year without McAvoy and Marchand, and they have not missed a beat. So
what about Aho for Carolina. If you lose Aho and you lose Matthews, who's a bigger loss for their team?
Matthews.
Okay.
What?
I'm just clearly stating a point of like when you're looking at the elite teams in the game, and you talk about Pastrnak, who right now has 38 goals, 72 points in 51 games. He's plus 25. And if you're to take Pastrnak off the team, where do the Boston Bruins? Do they still have their identity? Yes, they do. Brad Marchand, Krejci, Bergeron, Zacha, Lindholm, Taylor Hall, McAvoy, DeBrus, Coyle, Foligno. Like, I mean, they have, their team is not based on one or two players, where Toronto is based off, if you lose Mitch Marner in a game, your chances of winning the game go down tremendously. If you do not have Austin Matthews, you are in big, big trouble. Okay, if you're in Carolina and you lose Sebastian Aho, it's not nearly as big because the players that are behind Sebastian Aho in the lineup, there's much more depth. If you were to lose Nikita Kucherov in Tampa Bay, which they've already done before, if you lose him, where do you fit? Where does that team go? Well, you're going to have Stamkos, Point, all those players that are behind Kucherov are going to continue to propel this team in the right direction. Toronto is based off of basically four players. If you lose one of the four, you are completely screwed.
I would agree completely with that. So with that being said, tomorrow, tune into the grades, Sabre grades, right? You got your grades ready to go?
Yeah. We did it last year and people loved it. They loved it because there's a lot of opinion and a discussion that goes into this. And we had a lot of traction last year where people are like, you're crazy not giving this guy this grade or that grade. So I'm excited to do the grades this year.
You're a top forwards, grader.
Forwards, D, goaltenders, and management.
People say that you're too tough. Your grades are too tough. I'm curious to know what your grades are. I look forward to it. Thanks for listening, everyone. That's a wrap on another episode of After the Whistle. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, After the Whistle, and at Craig Revay 52, at The Instigator 76. And you can find us, as you already know, on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube, and anywhere else where you can get your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to spread the word.